But we have talked about all summer, we have talked about in the book of Acts, about the power of the gospel. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit to impact people's lives. The whole book of Acts is about the power of the gospel. And I talked one week about the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to break down every barrier between men and women, races, creeds, and colors, and nationalities. That the power of the gospel is for every man, every woman, no matter where they're from, no matter what color their skin. There's no room for racism and prejudice in the body of Christ. There's no room for people being treated lesser because of the color of their skin or their nationality. The kingdom of God belongs to such as they. They belong to all of us worldwide. The book of Acts. It's all about breaking barriers and the gospel going forward. It went into Europe from Palestine. It went into Africa from Palestine. I even mentioned one week that here in America, we're the ends of the earth. When he said this gospel would be proclaimed to the ends of the earth, they were talking from Jerusalem area. We're way out here in North America. To them, we're the ends of the earth. I don't know if you ever thought about it. Can you believe that the gospel doesn't center around America? Jerusalem is not a Jerusalem in America. That's in America. That's in Jerusalem. Israel. That's where Jerusalem is. We are the outpost of the gospel. And so we got a lot. We are here to preach this word. But we talked about not only that. When I say we, I'm talking about me, Beatty, our worship pastor, Blake, our college pastor, have been preaching this series. And we talked about the not only the power of the gospel to break down barriers, we talked about the unstoppable gospel. That even when there's resistance, the gospel goes forward. The gospel continues to go forward. Whether it be here locally, whether it be in Africa, whether it be in China, whether it be in Latin America, whether it be North America, the gospel is unstoppable because God is going to have his way. It's going to have his way in Saudi Arabia. He's going to have his way in the Middle East. God is not giving up on any peoples, I believe. I don't believe Jesus has given up on any group of people. I believe he wants every group to come to a saving knowledge of him. We went on to talk about the missional, what it's like to be a missional church, what it's like to go out and look beyond just my own problems and my own issues to see there's people out there who need this word. We can't look to the government to solve every problem. We got to look to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. People will disappoint you. Politicians will disappoint you. I will disappoint you. But Jesus will not disappoint you. He will have his way in your life if you let him. Blake spoke last week about a church. A church doesn't need to change, but a church needs to change. He made a contradictory statement. He said, the church of Jesus Christ has got to change. In other words, our methodology, how we go about preaching this word and how we reach the next generation. But he also said we don't need to change who we are. In other words, Bible-believing people who believe this word and who believe in Jesus and who believe in what he did. We don't change that. You know, the vision of this church, I don't know how many of us can quote it, but it's to reach our city to change the world. What is our mission underneath this umbrella? Our mission is the same mission that's in the book of Acts. The mission to reach out. Our mission statement is to exalt God. Exalt him, putting him number one by equipping his people to extend his kingdom. That's what we're all about. All about the book of Acts. Now, everybody, there are a lot of churches have mission statements. And all the Bible-believing churches that I've read their mission statement, they may change the word some, they may do a little different, but it's all about the book of Acts. Then and now. Preaching the gospel. Seeing lives change. Seeing transformation take place. All of Acts is summed up in this one verse. The whole theme of it is in Gospel of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, going out a little bit further, Samaria, out there where it gets uncomfortable, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Everything about the book of Acts is a summation of this one verse. And everything from that point on is all about this happening. Being a witness. Going out into the world and making impact. The question always come up. Many times this question, I was reading this scholar, and he said, how could an obscure messianic movement from the edge of the Roman Empire dislodge classical paganism and become the dominant faith of Western civilization? It started with only 120 people. For almost the first 200 years of Christianity, they was spread by the preaching of the gospel. It wasn't that Constantine in Rome was not the emperor. Not until the 300s did it become accepted in their society to be a Christian. So for close to 200 years, they preached the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same power of that Holy Spirit that when the book of Acts ended in chapter 28 is continuing on to right now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of all of us who love Him, who are saved today. The book of Acts is continuing. Yes, it is. And it continued after Paul. And it continued with those 120. And it continued on into Asia. It continued into Africa. It continued into, you just go back and look at so many amazing things God did. You say, Eddie, what's that have to do with me? It has everything to do with me. This is the ends of the earth. This is the gospel that we have. We can be confident that we have this gospel in us. This has been advanced one person at a time. You say, what is the kingdom of God? Win in person, one person at a time. Now, if you can win 10 or 12 at a time, but you know what I'm saying? One person, life change. That's how it changes. That's how the gospel goes forward. That's how we advance the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And so when I was reading through this, I noticed a sermon that Peter spoke after a miracle. And in this sermon, there were three things that I believe runs across the board throughout centuries. At that moment and now. Three blessings of this kingdom coming forward. We're talking about a kingdom that's an internal kingdom. We're not talking about a kingdom of military or even governmental. We're talking about the kingdom of God in the hearts of every person, transforming lives and transforming things around. So my title of my sermon today is Acts Then and Now, The Blessings of the Kingdom of God. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, in the rest of this sermon to communicate what you've put on my heart. Communicate to me. Help me to communicate what you're saying in this. In Jesus' name, amen. When I read through this, it's in Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read through it in just a minute. When I read through it, I saw three basic things that are taking place. You know what's interesting about the gospel? Jesus is not complicated. Sometimes we make things complicated. Sometimes we make it, I got to get a PhD in theological studies before I can do anything. I don't even have that. I don't even want that, believe it or not. I've been through seminary. I'm tired of that. I don't want to write one more paper, praise the Lord. I'm done with that. But anyway, it's not complicated. And when Peter is preaching this, this is his second sermon. We had the first sermon that he preached after the day of Pentecost. This is the second sermon that we have a record of after a miracle. And he just focused on what was really important. When you only have a little bit of time, you encapsulate it in what's important and what's going to impact and transform. So he didn't go into some long dissertation or write a PhD paper. He said, this is it. This is what you need. This is what's going to happen when this gospel goes forward. So let's read together here in Acts chapter 3. Let me set you the tone. They have been out, Peter and John, they're going to the temple in the ninth hour to pray. There's a man there who was lame, had been lame from the time that he was a child. And he comes up and says, do you have any alms for the poor? He's asking for money. Peter turns to him and said, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, Jesus, get up, rise up, and walk. So he grabbed him by the wrist. Or I'm saying grabbed him by the wrist. He grabbed him by something. Grabbed him, pulled him up, He jumped up and said he was immediately healed. He went into the temple, jumping around, exalting God and worshiping. It says they recognized in him as had been the one who used to sit by the gate. Beautiful. And he was sat there, and they recognized who he was. And it says they were all full of amazement. And at this moment, it says all the crowd came, and Peter was standing there, and he had another moment where he could have revival break out. He had a moment where at this moment a miracle happened, and it was a critical moment to continue the gospel. That's why I'm saying it. The gospel's not difficult, but here we'll see what he emphasized at this point. Starting in verse 17, he goes, before that he's preaching and saying it's because of the name of Jesus that people are saved. He says in verse 16, and on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has been strengthened through him, has given this perfect health in the presence of all. And now, brethren, I know you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, and he has thus been fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet may suffer, may be utterly destroyed from among his people. Let's go back and take a look at this and break this down some. His second speech, a moment where he can come, he says here, starting in verse 19, therefore repent and return, that your sins may be washed away or wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the Lamb of God. So the three blessings of this kingdom, if we individualize this and personalize this, the first one is he wipes away your sin. He says, repent and return. Now, repent is not this. Now, there were times in my life that I would go, oh, God, if you'll just get me out of this right now. Oh, God, I'll serve you forever. I'll never do it again. Just get me out of this. Am I the only one who's ever done that? Somebody's lying out here in this congregation. Oh, God, get me out of this. I'll serve you. And then God, in his mercy, would do it. There were some times I don't think he got me out of it. But for the most part, God's mercy would come through. That's not repentance. That's, God, I just need some help right now. Then a week later, you're right back again. But I got out of that. Woo, thank God for that. Let me just, well, there's another party coming on. Let's go to this other keg party over here. I feel good. I'm college students here now, so I can just sort of, I love you guys. I'm tired. I got myself out of that one. Or if you're an adult, I got myself out of that tax situation when I was a little bit slick. The tax accountant got me out of it. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I won't do it again. Then we forget. That's not repentance. That's, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I got caught, but I'm going to do it again, son. I'll tell you. Repentance means I am sorry. And I know what I did was wrong. And I repent, Jesus, and my life is not in line with this word, and I am sorry for it, and I'm going to make my effort by the grace of God that he gives me to change my life. You can't do it without the grace of God. Nobody can change themselves apart from the Holy Spirit coming in and infusing your life and transforming you by the power of his Spirit. You can't do it by yourself. You can read all the self-help books all day long, and it might help your brain a little bit, but ultimately, it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit deep inside of you to transform, to change. Then he said, return. I think there's a couple of different things here that's happening when he says the word return. Now, keep in mind, I keep saying this, but Peter had one shot to preach to these people, and here's what he said to them. Return. I think there's two elements to this return for us individually. One of them is maybe you've walked with God in the past. Maybe as a Christian, as a young child, you got your life right with God. You prayed a prayer and you committed your life to Him. But you really hadn't served Him, or you've had moments in your life where you pulled away from Him, and now you need to get back right with Him. He said, return. The other element of return is that, say you've never gotten saved. You've never given your life to Jesus. This return means that your purpose for life is to serve a holy God. The reason for your existence is to return, to come home. To come home to what God intended for you to be. To come home and return to the calling that He's got on your life. Maybe you never knew Jesus, but come home to Jesus. Come home to where you belong. Come home to where you were called to be, God's intention and purpose for your life. So He says, repent and return, and He washes away your sin. It's another place He can say He obliterates. I didn't even say that right. Help me out, sweetie. Obliterates. Thank you. I'm sorry, guys. It's not as easy as you think up here sometimes. I'll tell you right now. Sometimes these words just sort of come out funny sometimes, especially from where I'm from. Anyway, move it on. In other words, He puts to death the sin in your life. Sin is a taskmaster. Now, I know it's not popular to talk about sin. I don't hear it talked about much on TV. It's more of, you know, just pray and God will bless you. And He will. But sin is what destroys us. So every now and then we need to talk a little bit about it, that is not healthy for us. If your child is standing on the edge of a cliff, are you going to sit there and say, just go right on out, honey, God loves you anyway. Just keep right on doing it. He'll forgive you. He don't care. Just believe in Jesus. He doesn't care what you do. I've heard people almost say those kind of words. You're going to go grab that child and pull him back off that cliff. You're not going to let that child jump off that cliff. Or there's a fire. You know, there's an oven, and you're going to stick your hand up on the oven. You see your child about to stick your hand on the oven. You can pull the child's hand back at that moment. God loves us so much. That's the reason He gives us parameters to live by. Because He knows that if you do this, it's going to burn you. In the end, it's going to hurt you. In the end, it's going to hurt you. No matter what anybody else say, the Bible says,